We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
So, you know, these days we do this thing called the Crosstalk with the In the Loop guys. We're at the, what time is that show? 1:45 every day? We get in the studio with the guys and break a little bread. And
good to get a little warm-up in.
I got surprised today by a strong take, a strong Davis Mills take. Here's what the In the Loop guys did. They tweaked the Davis Mills conversation a bit to a what if. And it was posed, the question was posed, what if Davis Mills is a fringe Pro Bowler? I believe Mac Jones was the quarterback that they comped him to. What if he has...
I would like to also say with this would be a really tough scenario to have happen. When you think about the two things merging.
Oh,
together.
Yeah. No question.
To get the second pick.
But if Davis Mills were to play at a Pro Bowl level, call it an alternate, if you
That's
will.
What they
whatever the hell you want to call it. Even if he doesn't and he's in the Pro Bowl conversations, okay? But he's playing that caliber quarterback. Somehow the Texans still have a shot at one of the top two quarterbacks in the draft when the draft slots, when they finish the season and we know where they were slotted at. And the question was posed if, who was it? Who's number one overall? Was Bryce Young, went to somebody else. If you're the Texans and you're sitting at number two and a quarterback that you like is available in the draft, do you draft him and move on essentially from Davis Mills after playing at a Pro Bowl level? And Show, you said, hey, like, you didn't even blink. You just said yes.
Well, yeah.
Like, yeah, you got to explain this to me now. I was like, what? A Pro Bowler?
As I said, like, if we're talking about the Max Jones Pro Bowler, like, we're not talking about the Mac Jones Pro Bowler. Like, we're not talking about the Pro Bowler of Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes or Burrow. Talking about if he played like Mac Jones, and I'm sitting there and I've drafted him in the third round like the Texans have, and I've somehow been playing like Mac Jones, it would have to be the Texans have traded up to get to number two. Because that would mesh if he played. They would have the second pick.
Yeah.
But if they had a chance to go and get C.J. Stroud, and they felt like C.J. Stroud, who was widely thought of to be one or two right now between him and Bryce Young, if I'm the Texans and I scout him and I look at him and I think this is a cat that has a chance to be one of those guys, has a chance to be a guy that I win because of and not win with, then I would make that move, because that is the piece that you have to get, especially in the landscape. Thank you for your General Mills rendition, Tyler. Especially in the landscape.
I was listening to you. I didn't even pick that up.
Especially in the landscape of the AFC with all of these really, really good young quarterbacks that now have teams with them, right? These longer the days where you have, you know, Josh Allen, and he's not rolling to the party with several other guys that are potential game changers. He's coming to the party with Von Miller, Ed Oliver, Tre'Davious White, Stephon Diggs. Like, these guys have guys rolling with them. I think you got to find a guy that you feel can be a difference maker. And to me, I would do that, even if he's playing at a Mac Jones type level, if he's playing at that level.
You would punt on a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback.
the Mac Jones Pro Bowl. Well, I mean,
any conversation about the Pro Bowl, even if he's not a Pro Bowler, but they're considering him to be an alternate. I mean, you would punt on a Pro Bowl quarterback a year and a half into his career.
I think it matters the type of guy it is and the type of guy that I'm potentially trying to go get.
Tyler, you – oh, I know that.
Such a hater, man.
I know. The level of hate runs deep.
That's rising.
That's hate? Like, you think that's a crazy thing?
It's crazy.
That's what John Lopez did as well. I mean, he said the same thing.
Well, if Deshaun Watson walked in the door, then now we got a different conversation going on.
Deshaun walked in the door from college, from wherever. Or...
No. He said that John's deal was that – Cleveland replaced a good quarterback Baker with Deshaun Watson. And now if Davis Mills stays injured and messes a bed and is a problem off the field, is divisive in the locker room, and then all of a sudden Deshaun Watson walks in the door and you got a chance, that's different. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a year and a half in game-wise, a year and a half in, a guy's playing at a Pro Bowl level, and you got the chance to either take a quarterback or take Will Anderson, who I think is a monster. But and you decide, you punt on Davis Mills to go with a quarterback that you think maybe
that you're looking at, and you're saying this dude can be a guy that's on par with the top quarterbacks in the league. Like, yeah, to me, like if we're comparing, as they said, with Davis Mills to Mac Jones level, right? Like that to me is like saying. Right, when the Chiefs sat there with Alex Smith playing at that type of level and they said, or we're going to go draft Patrick Mahomes. Or that's like when even the Bills had Tyrod Taylor, who had just gotten them to the playoffs for the first time in a long time, and they drafted a quarterback. Or as John said earlier, Jimmy Garoppolo, and they felt like we got to go draft a young quarterback. We're going to give up multiple first-round picks because we think this kid is special. So I think we've seen examples of it. To me, it is the hardest way to try to win the Super Bowl, and to win is to win with the quarterback that you win with and not because of.
That would be just so – like, I guess the Pat Mahomes thing, I can – we knew who Alex Smith was. I mean, he was several years into a career where you knew this guy was a low ceiling. He was only going to bring X to the table.
I mean, he even changed his game. I mean, he led the league in passes, in yards downfield, passes downfield. Like
Alex?
Alex.
I'm just saying, when they made the decision to punt on Alex, essentially, like everybody in the league knew who he was. He'd already been punted on. I don't know. It would be really, really difficult for me to even. I mean, if he was even remotely in the conversation of a Pro Bowl, like alternate. To punt on him, boy, would be like I would have to really love, like he would, like CJ Stroud would have to be a generational talent. Like he would have to be thought of like Trevor Lawrence for me to make that move. Like, I mean, how do we know what CJ Stroud or any of these guys are going to be at the pro level? That'd just be a ballsy move. If I got a Pro Bowl quarterback, absolutely.
But you don't think there's a. Like a difference between the type of quarterbacks, like Pro Bowl quarterback. Like there's a difference between like Joe Burrow and Mac Jones. We're talking about them Pro Bowl quarterbacks. There's a difference between Josh Allen and who else?
To answer your question, you were getting off into semantics though. Mac Jones was just the fringe Pro Bowler that was brought up in conversation. The point is regardless of how he got there, if he's in a conversation for a Pro Bowl, it's like, I mean, if we want to comp him to Mac Jones, I get that. Is there a difference between – yeah, I mean, I would say small sample size. Joe Burrow has a lot more talent around him. There's a lot better guys on the other end of his passes that are catching him than Mac Jones has, I think, at this point. But, I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
I'm not one to sit like the Bengals did with Andy Dalton for years. All right, man, we got a French guy. Like, he may be all right. Like he may be able to get us there if we have everything perfect around him. And – no, I think there are a lot of examples of just the all right dudes, and like as I see on the text line.
No, I'm with you. There's like Jimmy Garoppolo. I think that's a perfect example. Like I've seen enough of Jimmy. Like I think it's hard. Like if Davis Mills starts seven games this year, and that garbage we watched last year, the dysfunction the organization's doing, and then this next year, all of a sudden he finishes the year with four games, rocking and rolling, and then goes a season and plays at that level. I mean, that's Like, I'm not – I wouldn't be ready at that point to punt on him the way out. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo is one of those where you've built a phenomenal team around him. There's no dysfunction. It's a perfect situation. And
– Like, you
– Like, he's just not – he's held you back.
Like, I just – like, how do you think we'll view C.J. Stroud? Does that seem to be a play? How do you think we'll view C.J. Stroud a year from now? Like when the draft comes with the season, if he puts together another season, I think C.J. Stroud is going to be viewed – as a player that's got a chance to be there.
100%. You know what I mean? I think he's got a chance to be legit. I think he's got the sexy skill set that everybody's in love with right now. I'm just saying there's no way in hell I'm punting on a fringe Pro Bowl quarterback for any college skill set.
I can hear what you're saying. I can hear that's fair. Yeah. I go for the thought of if I'm not great at that position and I feel like there's a chance where I can be great at quarterback, because there is, like as I've said, it is like what Joe Flacco did, man, that's hard.
Yeah,
to win a Super Bowl with him and to go through, like, that's hard. Has it been done? That's hard. But hell, you got to have Ed Reed, Ray Lewis. You got to have so many parts around him and have things break the right way. And did Jones go crazy for like a month? Like, that's hard to do. The consistent ones are the guys when you have the guys that you win because of. And I don't believe the Texans have that guy. Yeah. And I don't think Davis Mills is going to be, especially in this league, a win because of.
Yeah. Well, no, there's, I mean, definitely not the like a crazy arm talent
or
athletic skill set. I mean, definitely
such a
not
hater.
From that. Tyler's in there jumping.
Such a Mills hater.
You don't understand where I'm coming from? You don't understand the logic of that?
No, if he's a Pro Bowler, I don't. There's still room in General Mills' army, man.
I'm just like the scary part for me, show is like we talk about Pat Mahomes, we talk about Josh Allen.
Just rolling with Matt Schaub, huh?
Like how many organizations have swung and missed on guys that they thought were going to be that? So I don't know.
I know it. It's true. It's a real risk.
Yeah. That's the scary part. I mean, I've got a guy that wins in has to win the same way that Tom Brady plays the game, the way that Drew Brees plays the game, really the same way Joe Burrow plays the game. Like, they got to win that same way. And he's playing at a Pro Bowl level. I'm gonna roll those dice, baby.
Yeah. All right. That was fun. Good convo. Maybe I have to bring that back because the text line is enthused as well as it should be. All right. The Astros are getting one of their players who is turning the corner. Yuli is getting hot. And what this may mean for this stretch they have coming. My question to you, you can text in 713-572-4610. My question to you guys is, do the Astros need Yuli to be consistent? Do they need him for them to get to where they want to get to? We'll discuss that next.
Those Astros, they're kicking ass and taking names.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Real struggle to start the year. Yuli sends one to left field, hit well all the way back. Hernandez, and that ball's gone. La Pina is having himself a weekend here. The nation's capital is now 3-0.
It's going to be tough to get Yuli on the plane. He is raking in this ballpark.
3-for-3 today, 8-for-11 in the series with his first 2 home runs.
How about that? Yuli Gurriel, man. Shook it off. He was struggling, fighting it. I believe he was below 200 going into that series against the Nationals. 8-for-11, left the ballpark multiple times. He was really, really good. And I said it. I don't even know if we talked about it enough on the show, but I know I had set up where I'm going to be really watching him over the next week or so. Next couple of weeks to see where he is, because it's about time to pick it up.
Yeah.
To pick it up, and he did pick it up in a major way against the Nationals. They could not get his ass out.
Look, for those of us, and I think, Show, you're one of them as well, that for those of us that sit on the edge of our seat and we like to cuss and discuss every game and every big moment, there was some concern for Yuli. Like, the American League batting champ from last year, like, if this lineup's going to be, minus Correa, going to be what it was last year and be able to make a World Series run.
Not saying he had to be the batting champ, but he had
to. He had to be better than he was.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, he had to be better than he was. Now, for all my folks that like to just sit up there and clap, hey, I'm sure there was no concern whatsoever.
Don't sweat off your
back. But, yeah, I think coming out, the numbers that Yuli was putting up, and he was struggling at the plate, I think he was struggling to get in rhythm and clearly wasn't seeing it well. Was a concern, because he's got to, like you said, he doesn't have to be the AL batting champ again, but he's got to be a big time stick in this lineup. And he, just to be quite frank, he wasn't that guy through the first 30+ games this season.
He probably didn't have a lot of confidence when he came to the plate.
Yeah, look,
he just wasn't seeing it well at all.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, man. Before the AL batting champ season last year,
that's a good point. Yeah.
Like I liked Yuli, and I didn't give a rip about his numbers. It was more about the way I felt when Yuli Gurriel was at the plate was, and if there was ducks on the pond, if there was runners in scoring position, Yuli was going to move them. Is it a sack fly? Is it a hit? Is it a home run? Is it a whatever? There was a clutch gene in Yuli that I was like, okay, I'm a fan of this dude right here. I can run with this guy right here. And then all of a sudden he throws that American League batting champ on top of it. So now you're talking about just the consistency and the average and just, I mean, hell, being the best hitter in the AL ultimately. So when now we look at it and go, okay, now what are our expectations? I'm back at square one where I was before with Yuli. I don't, to your point, Show, I don't need the guy to compete for an AL batting champ. What I need to get that same feeling back in my veins when that dude gets to the plate of like, he's going to get good wood on it.
Yeah, I don't need him to be 8-for-11. Now, if he wants to go 8-for-11.
I'll take 8-for-11.
Serious. I mean, if that's what he wants to do moving forward. But, like, he's got to be in Pena level.
Yeah, no question.
You know
question.
What I mean? He's got to be, like, he was pushing Maldonado level. Yeah. Like, he was down there like, hold on now. Like I have the serious thought of, man, I want to see him for the next 2-3 weeks. Like, start to think of, like, you know him hitting in front of Tucker. That's something that Pena's going to keep doing this. Do you even think about making a move here? Because this is, like, this was struggling. But he was able to get himself going again. I think my question to you guys, at 713-572-4610, you can text in on this as well. What is the value that the Astros need from, like, do they need Yuli to, like, do they need him to be a consistent, I'm talking 250, 260, you know, like a above average hitter. Let's say that, right? Do they need Yuli? Do they need him to be an above average hitter for them to get to where they want to get to?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a necessity.
Yep. Yeah, I didn't know if
maybe his defense and his leadership or whatever. Because his presence in the locker room is a big deal.
Yeah.
His defense is a big deal. I didn't know if that was good enough. But you think they need him to be an above-average hitter?
I think 1 through 6 has to be above average. 1 through 6 in this lineup has to be above average. Because, and this is – right now, it sounds silly saying that because the pitching's been so good. I don't expect the pitching to continue at this clip. I expect Verlander to continue at this clip. I don't expect Odorizzi and Javier and Urquidy and Framber Valdez. I don't expect those guys to continue dominating the way that they've dominated.
Someone on the text line, 979, just texted in, the Astros need all their hitters to hit.
Yep.
Even Maldonado, I don't think the pitching will hold up all season.
Now, I think it'll be good, Show, but if we're talking about cutting time. We're talking about when we get into late season, you get into October, you got to go, okay, the opponents are going to be significantly better. The pitching you're going to see is going to be consistently better through a series anyway. And I'm talking about the opponent, the pitchers, the ones you're facing. I don't know that this Astros lineup in that moment is going to be able to limp into the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like, I'm talking about the lineup. I don't believe that this rotation is going to continue the dominance that they've had to this point. You couple that with playoff baseball, it's going to be a more consistent, better opponent. I don't believe that the Astros are going to win games the clip they need to win games if they limp into the playoffs with a Bregman that can't stay healthy. A Bregman that it's crazy to watch Bregman move right now based off of what we got used to watching last year. And I know he was injured, but still, he's completely changed his body in the way he's moving. Like, last year they were able to overcome that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
No, this year you're not going to be able to overcome Yuli limping into the playoffs. Not going to be able to overcome, I mean limping as in like statistically not seeing the ball well and hitting the ball well. You're not going to be able to overcome Altuve being like, what was he, Tyler, 1 of 22 or something like that with a leadoff home run at one point last year in the playoffs?
Yeah, correct.
Maybe it wasn't 22. Maybe it was 18 or something like that. But like this lineup is going to be able to make a run at a World Series if you got – 2 or 3 of your bats limping into late season play and into the playoffs. And Yuli has to be above average. I think 1 through 6 has to be above average and seeing it really well in the games that matter.
Yeah, I mean, if the production they're getting in center field and Maldonado, it does feel like you may not need AL batting champ because that was all-star worthy.
Yeah.
But above average, just if that's the production they're going to get out of those spots. And as you said, the same thing that the texter said and you said, and I know some people will say I'm hating, but it is hard to expect that Jeremy Peña is going to continue to be your league leader in RBIs and up there leading the team in home runs.
That's the point.
That one's hard to
– That's my point, Show. It's like 1 through 6 have to be above average because I can't bank on this young staff being as good as they have been, and we'd be crazy to think that Peña can keep it up in the 7-hole the way he's done in terms of RBIs, in terms of clutch at-bats, late in games. I hope I'm wrong.
Breaking news on Sports Radio 610. Brought to you by Beat the Streak. For tips to win a $5.6 million prize, listen wherever you get your podcast.
All right, Tyler, what is the latest breaking news?
Some interesting Astros news. This is coming from Mark Feinsend of MLB Network. He is an MLB insider. Sources tell him and Brian McTaggart the Astros recently spoke with Kyle Tucker's camp about a contract extension, but the sides were unable to come to a deal and are no longer engaged. Sources say Tucker will become arbitration eligible for the first time at the end of this season.
All right, the Astros, the Astros being, I think, smart and trying to get a deal going right now with Kyle Tucker because the way that it appears he is progressing is this is going to be a big money guy here coming up soon. So that is good. If I'm an Astros fan, I'm glad to hear that the Astros are trying to do this early like they did Bregman. But, Clint, if I'm advising Kyle Tucker, like, hey, let's just chill.
No, I'm advising Alvarez and Tucker, I'm going, hey, man, y'all look at what Bregman and Altuve did. Come on, man, y'all keep this thing together. This is you
as their agent.
Oh yeah, no, oh no, no, this is me as an Astros fan.
Yeah, I'm just saying if I'm somebody representing or looking at what you know what's best for them and the most that they can get, like yeah, I don't know. I wonder what Kyle Tucker gets in a couple of years when he's able to hit free agency, when he's able to hit, right? Like, I wonder what he gets. So it'll be interesting. But I think, first off, that is good news that the Astros are trying to go now. And damn it, if they're having talks with him, then Yordan Alvarez better be behind him.
Tyler better be hitting that breaking news sound about 5:30 here.
Sometimes they try with him. All right, the latest there is the Astros were in talks with Kyle Tucker. Those talks have broken down for a new contract, and they are no longer in talks with that. But the Astros were trying to work on a long-term deal for their outfielder, Kyle Tucker. All right, coming up, let's take a look, fellas. Let's take a look at how many wins we see the schedule is out for the Texans. How many wins, realistically, do we believe that they're going to get? And anyone out there, hey, don't be a hater on Davis Mills. Whatever your win total is, don't hate on Davis Mills. Give it your real belief. That's coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, the latest here is Tyler broke this earlier, right as we're coming out of the end of that segment. There's some recent news about Kyle Tucker.
Yes, sir. It's coming from Mark Feinsend of MLB Network. He and Brian McTaggart reporting that the Astros have recently spoke with Kyle Tucker's camp about extending his contract, but the sides were unable to come to a deal, and they are no longer engaged. It is also important to note that Tucker will become arbitration eligible for the first time at the end of this season.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. As I said before, Tyler and Clint, I think it's a good thing that the Astros are being proactive and trying to do this. Not surprising. They're a really well-run organization. But, right, you think him and Yordan should be in net camp between the two of them. They should be doing everything they can to try to lessen the blow on what the contracts are going to be.
You're
because
damn
those,
right.
those two are going to be coming around the same time. And, listen, as we've said, man, they've shown up roses at this point where they've let, you know, Springer and Cole and Correa walk. I mean, well, you know, they have signed some of them. They did sign Altuve. They did bring back Bregman. Now, Bregman helped them out by signing early. But you would think they want to get – obviously, they want to get Kyle Tucker done. You would think the same thing with the big fella, Yordan Alvarez. It's good to see that they're doing it. I don't know how much luck they're going to have signing these two guys early. I think these guys are seeing – I guess if you throw a good amount of money at these cats early – but it'd have to be a hell of a lot amount of money for them to get the advice from their agents, especially if any of them jokers are rolling with the Scott Burses of them.
I mean,
their agents now, nah, man.
Sure, am I crazy to think that, like, Yordan's on a whole different level?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think I'm crazy?
I don't think you're crazy. You know how I feel about Yordan. I think he may be I think he could be the most feared player in the game. Hitter, excuse me, in the game by the end of this year. But a lot of people will look at the full – compliment of Kyle Tucker, a guy that can hit, a guy that can hit for power and everything, and he plays a gold glove level type of an outfield as well. So, and Yordan, we'll see. Maybe Yordan's going to get more in the field. But
Yordan just feels like to me like he's going to get a monster deal,
I think,
whenever it comes time.
Should.
I mean, he's going to get a monster. Like, I'm looking at the highest paid outfielders. I was looking up some different numbers and just kind of seeing where a Kyle Tucker falls. I mean, this isn't length of contract. I believe this is just per year money. I mean, your top 10 guys, Nick Castellanos is number 10, Philadelphia right fielder, 30 years old, $20 million a year. And then number one, obviously, is Mike Trout, 30. Is he 30 already?
Yeah.
Holy cow. $37 million a year. George Springer, 32 years old, just under $30 million a year. I mean, where does Kyle Tucker fall in that conversation? You got Bryce Harper, you got Christian Yelich, you got Jason Hayward, Will Myers, Mookie Betts.
If he continues
at 22.5.
If he continues to produce the way that he has produced, last year was that year, and he's come on after a slow start. If he continues to produce, he is going to command big money. How old is Kyle Tucker? Is he like 25, 24, 20? I don't even know. Understand.
Jordan's 25.
He's 25.
So he's 25. Lord. They're both 25.
Good hell.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm just looking, like, where does Kyle Tucker fall on that list? I mean, he's top 10, right?
Especially if he continues. I bet you people would be surprised as last year compared to Bryce Harper. I bet you people like how close. I mean, Bryce, I think, was clearly better. I think he was the MVP, but or close to it. But be surprised how good their numbers are and how close they are. And at 25 years old, in a couple of years, if he's still producing, like, he's going to get major money. But I agree. Let's say Jordan's playing at first base by this point, and he's gotten himself out of just the straight DH role. And I think John McClain, the general, he said he believes he'll be playing first base for the Astros next year. If he's doing that and he's playing in the field, like, you know, this is a cat that's going to make, you know, major money for what he does at the plate. Yeah, that. So, like I said, it's an interesting thing to see, but the talks have broken off. Talks have broken off with Kyle Tucker as they were trying to get the Astros a long-term deal. All right, Clint Sterner, Ron Nishow, Hughley, Tyler Milner producing this. All right, let's do this. All right, 713-572-4610. I'm already seeing some people text in how they believe record wise. I want to get Pacific Ocean. I want to get specifics from folks out here. The games that they're going to win. What do you see as the record for the Texans coming up this next year? We've seen the schedule. What do you see? Clint, kick it off. Where do you see the Texans going? They won four games last year with that coaching staff. They've got a new coaching staff in. You got to feel more confident about. They've had a better – they just had no choice but to have a better draft in terms of the talent they're bringing in because they had multiple picks in the first round, multiple second-round picks. Where do you see this team going next year?
I got six dubs. I got 6-11. I got them beating Chicago. Week three, I got them beating Jacksonville. Week five, I got them at sitting at 2-3 going into the bye week. Then I've got them beating Tennessee the first go-round. Then I got them beating the Giants. I got them beating Jacksonville again, so I have them sweeping Jacksonville in the season. And then I got them beating Indy to end the season. That's one of those where I think Indy is probably got the division locked up,
and they catch
the Colts with half their starters playing. So I got them at 6-11 is where I'm gonna sit right there. I think there's a good chance, show, that they could upset somebody throughout this season that may give them seven. But if I'm putting down $100 right now, I'm going six.
Six. So you would take the over on the 4.5.
Absolutely. I couldn't believe that number was so low, show, especially after what we watched last year. It was like they were trying to lose games last year. I don't really think they were, but based off of what we now know in hindsight with David Cullen, how awful that hire was, it's hard to not think they were trying to lose games. Still won four, and hell, could have won six last year when they were trying. They're the worst team in terms of talent. They were the oldest team, I believe, in terms of how old the roster was, and the staff was an absolute mess. I mean, of just guys that were from all different walks. So, I got to give them at least six this year. So I would put $100 down on six. So I would take the over in the four and a half total dubs.
All right. So six wins. All right. They won four last year. I got five. I have them improving by one win, 5-12. I think this team will clearly be better than last year's team. I think their schedule, the way it shakes out, is a little bit more difficult when you're playing the AFC West. I'm having a hard time seeing how they win any of those four games. against that group, and then you get the Browns as the only team you get to play out of the NFC North, which hell, it doesn't matter. They're all tough in that division, but I go 5 wins. I think they're going to put up a big fight in game 1 against the Colts here, but I do think the Colts will win that game. I think that could be an upset type of a look in week 1, which I think will make the fan base feel really well. I think they get their first win, and I agree with you, when they go on the road to play the Bears. I think they'll win that game. I think they also get the Titans at home. And then as I talk to you about this Friday, that stretch in November where I think they're all winnable games, to really show to me where they are, I see them beating the Giants in Washington. I got them winning those 2 in a row. I think they should be on par with those teams. And I think Lovie Smith and their coaching staff potentially be the difference in those games. And then I think they get the home game against Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville will be improved from the turmoil that they were dealing with last year. I think they win at home against Jacksonville. As I said, I think week 1 could be an upset. And I think Dallas is an interesting one. Dallas just, until they show me something different, Dallas looks like the prime team that would take the Texans lightly.
Yeah.
The prime team that would come in as they come into Dallas, take them lightly, and then find themselves in a game in the fourth quarter. And you're like, how the hell did we get here? All right, and so they got a team like Tennessee, who was the number 1 seed last year in the AFC. So I think they will potentially get a team, and I think Dallas or the Colts are the teams that they could upset.
I think there's a couple of teams on here that are potential upsets. Look, the Chargers are a team that I think ultimately beat the Texans and probably beat them pretty handily, but I think Justin Herbert is a guy that forces way too many balls. He's aggressive way too often. He holds the ball because of his athletic ability and his ability to extend plays, which those guys typically, until they mature and understand how to protect the ball with their decision-making and not just because they're that much more talented than everybody, those guys are capable of having a blow-up game where they have 3 or 4 interceptions, a couple of strip sacks, they're holding the ball, taking too much risk with the ball. So I think the Chargers are a potential upset week 4. I would look at the Eagles as an upset if they were to beat the Eagles. I just think that was a playoff caliber team last year. Maybe some people think they shouldn't have been there, but nonetheless they were. They got significantly better this offseason. So I think that Eagles could be a potential upset right there. The Browns would be an upset if they were able to get that. As you said, the Cowboys would be an upset if they were able to get that one. I'm going with the next week, though. I'm going in week 15. I'm going with the Kansas City Chiefs. If I'm picking an upset, if I had to pick one.
What's your reasoning why here?
Well, I just don't know. I don't know who Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Andy Reid are going to be without Tyreek Hill. You know, we can look back and go, well, Andy had some success offensively. And he did. He did. There's no question about it. But Andy's going to have to work a whole lot harder than Andy's worked than the last couple of years. Pat Mahomes is going to have to adjust his game, I think, in a major, major way. Travis Kelce is going to take his game to another level because he's played in space really, really well, and he had some guys that created space in Tyreek Hill predominantly. So I just think the Tyreek Hill loss is bigger than most folks think it'll be. So I would go with Kansas City right now. If they go out there and sign Odell Beckham Jr., then all bets are off. We're going to revisit this topic. But right now, the way they're – Valdez Scantlin, Mecole Hardman, I mean, they're not Tyreek Hill. They're not – you know, until I see them do it, they're not Tyreek Hill. And I just think it's a significantly – it's a steeper climb for Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes this year than maybe it's ever been in their career. Did Pat play a year without Tyreek? Did he start a year? They were together the whole time.
Yeah, he's been there. Yeah, they were both there. He hasn't played without Hill or Kelce.
Yeah, see, so I don't know. I think that could be a major, major blow. I know it's going to hurt, but it could end up being a major, major problem.
I could even get with you if it wasn't week 15.
Yeah, that scares me a bit, but I'm gonna ride
late.
With it.
It's late. I would hope they would know
by then.
They know they are. If they're not, they're not going to They may be a problem in the playoffs or something.
Well, that's the problem with all the like legit upsets potentially on this schedule is they're in December. You know, the Dallas, Cleveland,
yeah.
You know, the Kansas City, they're all late games. So it's like if you're not going to pick an in-division opponent, Tennessee or Indy, if you don't see those as potential upsets, then it's got to be one of those three late. And I think all three of those are going to be hitting stride by December more than likely. So I got to pick the one that I know doesn't have the most explosive player in the league this year. That's Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
Bad thing is he got the best quarterback in the league.
Potentially. We'll see if he is, yeah. Right? And if he is, he should be able to keep them afloat without Tyreek.
They just play – Pat Mahomes plays off script and off schedule as much, if not more, than any quarterback in the league. And he does it by choice. He has done it by choice for a long period of time. And they've won at an unbelievable clip. So, it's just – if they hadn't won so much with it, Show, I would be less concerned. I'm concerned because they won so much with it.
I'm thoroughly intrigued to see how different they look. What is going to be the thing? Because if it has been Andy and Eric Bieniemy to exploit like the things that they can do, like who is somebody they pick up more? Like the example I think we've had a conversation about is when Brady lost, you know, the Welkers and the. And Randy Moss, they changed their whole offense, became very tight end dominant, you know, with Rob and the Killer and things like that. And they changed their game. The run game became a more of a thing. So it'd be interesting to see how they change things. Now, if they're going to just run offense how they usually did and expect somebody to play a role like Tyreek Hill, then hell, they got a problem. But I would believe Andy is different than that.
Yeah.
Hold on, we got to get to Tyler. Tyler, earlier when we did this, you had the Texans at 8. At 8 wins, you still feel that same way? It's been a little time. You're still
hardcore? Sticking with it. Eight wins.
Okay.
That's right.
All right. That's borderline playoff-like team now with the 7th team in the playoffs.
Could be.
All right, man. That's 8. 8 wins. All right, man. There's a couple of upsets in there that you've got to have. I believe you said you believe they're going to beat Cleveland.
Yes.
What are the wins? I've got to hear these wins.
The wins I have are the Colts week 1.
Did you just change the music for a personal
effect
for you?
No, it was going to end. Oh. I didn't want it to cut off. It wasn't for me. Colts week 1. I think they win week 3 at Chicago. I think they win both games against the Jaguars. So that brings us to 4. I think they split the games with the Colts and the Titans. So that brings us to 6. I think they win at New York Giants 7, and I think that they win at home against Cleveland 8.
Wow! All right,
that's tough. You got 8, and it didn't even include the Commandos.
I was kind of.
You got to have them at 9 now. You can't. They can't beat Washington.
All right, you know what? F it. 9. Okay. 9 wins. That's what I'm talking about. General Mills in the building.
You know what? F it. We just talked. You got 30 seconds. We talked him into 9, baby.
Come on, man.
That's the one I was going back and forth on.
I want you to be honest. Can you admit that a little bit of this is the fanboy in you?
I'm sure the Browns pick a little bit, but I stand by it.
Because you now he's since at 9 here. 9, baby. No, I want you to stand by it. Yeah, stand by it.
Yes, sir.
At 9. That's all right. I've never made a bracket for the first 20 years of my life that Kansas wasn't in the Final Four and winning the national championship.
So you want to make, I had some money, hammer that over.
Had an 8 as an 8 seed. I did that in high school.
Well, bottom line is the over and under is 4.5. So Tyler clearly feels strong about
that. Oh,
the
you're going to kill that.
That's easy money right
a
there.
A 9 piece.
5 wins? Shoot.
A 9 piece. Wow. All right. There we go. Someone text in from the 713. Clint, you think Mahomes has learned how to read coverage yet?
Yeah. I think Mahomes is doing a great job reading coverages.
Oh, thank you. That is awesome.
No problem, Pat. No problem, bud.
He'll be fine.
Here's the unique thing about Pat and the Kansas City Chiefs, and as it relates to him being reading coverages, they dictate what coverages they get. That's part of why I'm concerned with like Tyreek Hill. Like Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Eric Bieniemy, Andy Reid, the combination of the skill sets and the play calling and Pat's arm and all, they dictate a lot of times what coverage they get. They get people out of their comfort zone and get people into doing stupid things like putting Justin Reid at the cornerback position to start the game, and then they throw a bomb over the top. I mean, they dictate a lot of what happens because of how explosive they've been. So it makes the game very vanilla for Pat Mahomes. Not that he can't read coverages. I at this point, I think he's fine, but that's part of it. Now teams, until they prove that they've got another explosive receiver, teams are going to be able to throw different looks at Pat Mahomes. They're going to be able to rotate coverage. They're going to be able to bring corners. They're going to be able to double Travis Kelce. They're going to show blitz and then bail out into different coverages because you don't have to worry about Tyreek Hill getting the jump on your corner and running by you and hitting his head on the goalpost. So, I mean, game's going to change for him, guys.
All right, big news coming from the Astros, one involving Kyle Tucker and one involving Jeremy Pena. We'll let you know exactly what that is coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.